Appreciate that. Wonderful, wonderful special. All right, open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. We're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to begin with verse 20. And we're going to go down to verse 54. It's a rather lengthy passage, but I think we need to read these verses. And so look with me, if you will. 1 Samuel 17, and we're going to begin with verse 20. The Bible says, "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse," that's his dad, "had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel.' And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God?' And the people answered him after this manner, saying, 'So shall it be done to the man that killeth him.' And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, 'Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle.' And David said, 'What have I now done? Is there not a cause?' And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this with this Philistine.' Saul said to David, 'Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth.' David said unto Saul, 'Thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God.' David said, moreover, 'The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine.' Saul said unto David, 'Go, and the Lord be with thee.' And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, 'I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them.' And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, 'Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field.' Then said David to the Philistine, 'Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines to stay unto the fowls of the air, unto the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in the bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistine until thou come to the valley, to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, unto Gath, and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for this wonderful account you've recorded for us in your word. Lord, it's been a blessing and a help to Christians throughout the years. And now today we're going to look at this. We're going to see some things that I believe you have for us to glean from this wonderful, wonderful account. Thank you that you are the God of heaven. You are the all-powerful, living God. That we can put our faith and trust in you. We can find our power and our provision in you. Help us today. We pray for those who are here without Christ once again that they'd come to him today for salvation. He invites any and all who will come to him to come and he will save them. And we pray for believers. Just encourage our hearts. Strengthen us in the battle. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I've titled this, The Fight of Your Life. The Fight of Your Life. Now, our text for this morning is one that's familiar to most of us. The story of David and his defeat of the giant Goliath. It's a wonderful story that has been a blessing to believers since the day it took place. The fact is, even multitudes of unbelievers know this story and are blessed by the ending where the hopeless underdog is able to slay the powerful giant that he faced. This morning, as we read this story, as we read this story, probably your heart was blessed. Probably your heart was encouraged again by what we saw here. Here we have the lad, the underdog, David, who, by man's opinion, has no hope against the powerful giant and has won, and David has won the battle and defeated the foe. Over the centuries, there's no doubt been innumerable sermons preached from this particular passage. The principles and truths we can glean here are inexhaustible. Sermons can be built on David and his faith in God, or on his ardent willingness to serve God, of his bravery with God. One could speak on the giant of Goliath and his representation of the enemy of God. One could devote a sermon about David's older brother and his attitude issues and on we could go. But this morning I want to focus for just a little while on what I would call the big picture of this story. You see, this is much more than just a record of a great victory that God gave to David and Israel over Goliath and the Philistines. This is an account that God has given us. This story is actually a picture to believers of the battle that we have to fight every day. David and Israel are the picture of believers. Goliath and the Philistines are the picture of Satan and his forces. We're seen as in a constant battle with what seems to be to us an unbeatable foe. We as believers come up against many giants in our lives, battles that we have to fight. And we are, as believers, caught up in the fight of our lives. And so this morning I want to share with you some things we must do in order to fight the good fight and to win the victory over our giants. The fight of your life. We have to fight the good fight. And first of all, we have to do that by acknowledging the reality of the battle. You know, in verses 22 through 29, we find David. And as I said, most of us are familiar with the story. If you're not, David has been sent by his father. His three older brothers are down in the battle. He's been sent by his father to take some food down to them. David is just a shepherd boy. And his father sends him, and he comes on this battle scene. And all of a sudden, this giant comes out and challenges Israel. And David hears all this. And he looks around, and the armies of Israel are doing nothing, and they're quaking in their shoes, and who in the world is going to go against this guy? He's bigger than all, blah, blah, blah. And yet, down in verse 26, he says this in the latter part of that verse, what shall be done to the man that taketh away the reproach of the Philistine? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Then look at verse 29. And David said, what have I now done? He says this, is there not a cause? David was saying, isn't there a war to be fought? Isn't there a battle to be fought? Yes, there is a battle. David's looking at the Israelites and he's wondering in his heart, how can they not see somebody has to fight the battle? They weren't doing anything. They were standing by. They were waiting for someone to step up. But none of them wanted to face the giant. They didn't want to face the reality that somebody's going to have to get some courage and get some faith and go out against the enemy. Now, we face a real battle and a real enemy every day. Our battle is not a physical battle. Our battle is a spiritual battle. There is a constant spiritual warfare raging against us every day. And we've got to step up to it. We've got to understand. We've got to fight this battle. We can't just stand by and pretend it's not there like the Israelites did. Satan is our foe. He and his minions battle the believer constantly. That's why Peter writes in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Listen, friend, we can't lay down, we can't step back, we can't just pretend there's no fight. You've got an enemy who's after you every day, he's on your heels every day. We can't ignore that battle. We have to be aware, we have to be awake, and we have to be on guard at all times. And by the way, nobody's exempt. We're all in this battle. You see, Goliath was out to destroy all the people of Israel. Satan is out to destroy every believer spiritually. We need to acknowledge, I'm in a war, I'm in a fight, I'm in a battle. Number one. We fight this battle, and we're going to fight the good fight if we'll acknowledge I have a battle to fight. Number two, recognize the ownership of the battle. Here's something very interesting. Look at verse 27. I'm sorry, 26. He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? In verses 45 and 46, he says this. The Philistine had challenged David, said he was going to feed his flesh to the birds and all. In 45, then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But look what he says. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of the hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. Do you understand that David is coming to this giant, and he's making it clear, in other places he makes it clear, that this battle I'm fighting is not my battle, it's the Lord's battle. You see, David recognized what's going on here. There's a warfare, but it's more than just a physical warfare. He understood that the only way he was going to be able to win this battle was in the power of God. And he was fighting God's battle. This Philistine was mocking God and dragging God's name through the mud and challenging God's people. The fight was God's fight. David understood that. You see, the Israelites were God's chosen people. And Satan had stirred this big Philistine to come and destroy them. Now, recognize this. We have David and we have Goliath, who are going to come to fight. But in reality, they're not fighting their own fight. David is fighting God's fight. Goliath is fighting the fight of Satan. That's the picture here. The reality is David and Goliath are merely the agents of the battle. The human agency that would fight the battle. But the real battle is between God and Satan. And David recognized it. And David knew the only way victory would come, it would have to come through the Lord. I said that because I want you to recognize our battle. Who owns our battle? We're fighting the battle. We're the human agency. We have to fight the battle every day, but in reality, the battle is God's against Satan. That's why we're in this battle. Listen, if you never got saved, you wouldn't be in the battle. You see, Satan hates Christians and battles us because we belong to God. He wants to destroy God's people, just like he wanted to destroy the Israelites. You know, he's not after the unsaved. They belong to him. We're the human agency in this battle. But we're just the foot soldiers. We're just the grunts in the battle, if you will. We're just the ones in the trenches. We're the target Satan attacks, but the real battle is between God and Satan. We need to recognize the ownership of the battle. I thought about this. I thought about World War II. We have the Allied forces who were fighting against the Axis. We had all these men who were down on the ground fighting the battles, shooting the guns, throwing the grenades. They were the grunts in the actual trenches of the battle. But the battle wasn't really theirs. The battle was between the Allies and the Axis. They were just the ones who had to fight the battle. And that's where we are. We are just the soldiers that have to fight. In our spiritual battles, we have to remember these battles are the Lord's. We must fight the good fight. Number one, by acknowledging the reality of battle, we're in a battle. The ownership of the battle. It's God's battle against Satan. And then refuse to be intimidated in the battle. Oh, that verse 26 there. Go back there. That big giant comes out there. And he challenges David. And David spake to the men, stood by him saying, what shall be done to the man that killed this Philistine? Take away the reproach from Israel. Look what he says about the Philistine. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You know what he's saying? Who's this big chump who would dare to come out against God and his people? Now as we read, we find out the Israelites were actually very intimidating. The physical stature of this man put fear in them. He was over 9 feet tall. He had all this armor and mail and every part of him was covered. He had a big sword and a big shield. And he even had a guy who ran in front of him with a big shield. And so when he came out and made all these threatening statements and challenged the Israelites, they quaked in fear. They were intimidated by what they saw and what he said. He was much bigger, they thought, much stronger, much more prepared for the battle than anyone they had. And they saw him, listen, they saw him as an unbeatable foe. We can't win this battle. I said all that because I want you to understand this. In our battle, we dare not let the enemy intimidate us. See, oftentimes we will be faced with what seems to be impossible situations. We will be in places that we face things that are beyond our abilities. We will face giants, if you will, in our life. And you know, Satan loves to intimidate us, or at least try to. Remember what I said about 1 Timothy 5:8? Would it be vigilant because our adversary, the devil, as a, what kind of lion? Roaring lion. You know why a lion roars? To intimidate. He roars to put fear in that which he's roaring against. That's why Satan comes to us and he roars at us to try to intimidate us, to put fear in us, to make us think we're not able to stand against this one and we're about to be devoured. He loves to intimidate believers. But we need to understand that we cannot be intimidated. Rather, we must engage the enemy. We're not to stand and quake in fear. We're not to lay down. We're not to give up. David is that example. I like when I read, you know, it doesn't say that he went to battle. It says he ran. Here's this big Goliath challenging this little lad who has a sling and a stone and a giant has his weapons. And it seems impossible. And yet David doesn't quakingly go up there and he doesn't timidly go up there or he doesn't even just walk up there. He runs right at the enemy. You know what he was saying to him? You don't intimidate me. And the reason David had that attitude was he realized God is with me. It's all through that story how he said, I'm fighting in the name of God. He wasn't intimidated. You know, I've learned this. Satan is a bully. How many of you would agree with that? Satan is a bully. You know what bullies do? They try to intimidate you. In my life, I have found the only way to deal with a bully is to come against them. Challenge them. And that's exactly what David had to do with Goliath. Don't let bullies intimidate you. You know, we often have the roarings of Satan. We face a situation and Satan roars and he says, hey, if you take a stand here, it's going to cost you. If you take a stand here, you're going to lose some friends. If you take a stand here, you're going to be criticized. If you take a stand here, you might lose some money. If you take a stand here, he's trying to intimidate you. And we need to tell him, go on back to hell. You're not going to intimidate me. I'm serving God. He'll come and roar at us and say, hey, if you're going to strive to serve the Lord, you're going to pay a high price. And then he likes to come with this one. Hey, if you'll just give in to me, your problems will go away. Listen, friend, we can't give in to his intimidation. We need to fight the good fight. Don't let him intimidate us. And then fourthly, we need to fight the good fight by displaying confidence when we're in the battle. You know, if you've been through some of the battles with the enemy, they get rough. Paul tells Timothy that we're to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ and we're to be willing to suffer the hardship, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, soldiers fighting wars don't have it easy. We've all seen movies and pictures and things about World War II and Korea and Vietnam and all. And some of the things our soldiers have had to go through, horrendous. The battle is not an easy battle. But we need to understand, we've got to engage the enemy, and we've got to fight the good fight, and then we need to have confidence in the battle. Confidence. In 45 and 46, David says, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear, and with a shield I come to thee in the name of the Lord of the host, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day, will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand? and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Do you see any fear in his voice? Do you see any doubt in his mind? Hey, he's putting his life on the line. He's going against what seems to be an unbeatable foe. He's going against a giant that's armed to the hilt. And he's got a stone and five stones and a sling. But you don't find one bit of worry or fret or intimidation or fear in David's voice. Why? Because he's confident in his battle. He knows God is with him. He knows God is greater than the enemy. And God has given him that peace in his heart to know, I can give you the victory. The Israelites didn't believe they could beat the giant. The Israelites, the army of Israel is looking around and they're looking at what weapons they have. They're looking at what guys they have. They probably tried to choose out the biggest and best guys in the thing. And they looked at him and they said, not against him. They were looking at what they could do and what they had. And humanly speaking, they came to the conclusion, I can't win. So they quaked and they feared. And they failed to fight. David, on the other hand, has confidence. He knew that with God's power, he could defeat this giant. His confidence was not in himself. Listen, David didn't go out there and say, well, man, I got five stones and a sling. David didn't even go out there and say, hey, bucko, I want you to understand, I can throw this rock and hit you right smack in the forehead. I've practiced. Even when he told his cronies, the Israelites, that he had killed a bear and a lion with his bare hands, understand where he went. He gave all the glory to God. He said, hey, when that happened, God made me able. He understands where his power is coming from. And that's why he's so confident. His confidence is in God. And his confidence is what God has already done in his life. Listen, friend, you've been through some battles and God's given you a victory. Understand, one of the reasons you have victory there is to build your confidence for the next battle. We ought to be able to look at what God has done in our life and say, hey, he was able to do this, surely he can do this. We have to display that confidence. See, some of the giants we face in our life, some of the battles we have to face, seem like they're impossible. How many of you have ever been in a situation that seemed to you is impossible? God's able. The Bible says with God nothing is impossible. The Bible says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And that's a rhetorical question. Of course not. And so we win those battles and it builds our confidence. And David had some things in his past where he had seen God work in his life. And he knew the power of God. And now when he goes out against this one, he knows what kind of power he's dealing with here. And it's not a physical power. It's God's enabling power. And friend, when we get in our battles, we've got to display confidence. We go against what seems to be unbeatable foes, but friend, understand, God can give us victory. We need to seek His power. We need to remember, it's not me. I'm not going to win this battle in my power or my abilities or my wisdom or my intellect or anything. God's going to have to give me the victory, but He can. By the way, everything about the victorious Christian life is based on faith. Hold your place right there. Go back to Hebrews. That's in the other end of your Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to look at verse 6. This is what we call God's Hall of Fame, or God's Hall of Faith, whatever you want to call it. This is all about people who by faith did miraculous and wonderful things for God. Saw God move in miraculous ways. But in verse 6, he precedes all these histories with this. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That's God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Listen, friend, it's all about faith. That's why David could face his foe with complete confidence in the battle. It was by faith. And then we must execute the battle. If we're going to fight the good fight, we've got to execute the battle. The Israelites are all standing around. I don't know how many days they stand around. The Bible says, I think it was 40 days or something, this giant kept coming out. It wasn't a one-time thing. He just kept coming out morning and evening, challenging them, and nobody moved. They were frozen in fear. They quaked and cowered in the presence of this giant. David came on the scene, and he was willing to take the step to go against the giant. I said earlier, he ran to the battle. He didn't hesitate. And we need to be willing to face our giants. We need to be willing to execute the battle. Now, listen, here's where we are. A lot of times we know, I'm going to get in this battle, and it's going to be a fight. I'm going to take some hits. Soldiers get wounded. War is not pleasant. And we go into the battle and we think, oh, do I want to pay that price? Listen, friend, we've got to pay the price. If we want to get the victory, we've got to engage in the battle. We can't stand around like the Israelites did and say, well, you know, if we go against them, we're going to get beaten, you know. No. If you don't go into the battle, if you don't engage the battle, you're not going to get the victory. It's that simple. If you're just going to lay down, let the Satan roll over you, you're not going to have a victory in your Christian life. Your giants are going to defeat you. You got to be willing to fight the fight. As I said, it's not pleasant oftentimes, and boy, wounds that we receive and hurts that we have to endure and all in the battle, but it's the way to victory. And then finally, we need to fight the good fight so we can experience the victory in the battle. I love reading the end of this. I love when David throws that sling and it hits that giant right here. And the Bible says it knocked him out and he fell flat on his face. Now picture, we've got all the Philistine army over here thinking, this is a piece of cake. Look who they sent out. Goliath is going to pinch his little head off. He's going to rip him apart like a bug. He's going to feed his flesh to the birds and the beasts. This is going to be over in about 30 seconds. And all of a sudden, this little guy comes out there running at the giant. They're probably thinking, what's this guy on, dope or something? What's the matter with him? And he gets close enough, in range. David knew what his range was. And he gets close enough. And apparently the one thing exposed on Goliath was his face. And David takes aim and he puts a sling in there. By the way, it wasn't a slingshot. See, in Bible times they used slings. And buddy, they could get real good with them slings. Listen, I don't want to take God out of this, and I believe he directed that stone. But David was a crack shot with that slingshot. But it wasn't his ability that gave him the victory. He flung that stone, and I believe an angel took that thing and slammed it right into that giant's forehead. Poof! Down he went. Now he's on the ground. David ain't done yet. He runs up there. David don't have a sword. He pulls that giant's big old sword. Imagine little David with his great big sword. It wasn't the average size sword. And he takes that baby and wham! Chops off his head. Picture the Philistines now. You see what he did? I don't believe it. And boy, they start heading for the woods. David ain't done yet. Now he grabs that head. And he drags it on back. And he takes it all the way back to Jerusalem. and he shows everybody the victory. And when he does that, you know what he's saying? Hey, here's what my God can do to the mightiest power that's out there. My God is greater than anything the enemy can throw at you. That's what he's saying. Listen, friend. We have to fight the good fight of faith. And if we do, we can experience the victory. It's a daily warfare. I wish it wasn't. But it is. And each one of us who claims to know Christ has an enemy that is determined to defeat us, to intimidate us, to destroy us in our walk with God. We then have to make that determination. I'm going to stand firm, and I'm going to rely on the power of God to give me the victory. You know, some of you today are facing some giants. You got some things in your life that are seemingly impossible. In your power, you don't know how you're going to do it. Can I encourage you today? You have a God who can handle anything you face. Stand up. Be the man of God. Be the woman of God. Stand firm and fast in your faith. Don't let him intimidate you and fight the battle. It's the only way you're going to get the victory. If David had never gone out against Goliath, how would they ever had victory? Let's fight the good fight of faith. We're in the fight of our life. By the way, it's going to go on all of your life. If you're serving the Lord, if you're living for God, if you're trying to be a Christian like God wants you to be, you are in the battle for the rest of your life. I wish I could say, you know, in a couple of weeks it'll be over, but it won't. Because the enemy won't give up. We just got to keep fighting. And no victory in Jesus. I love that song, Victory in Jesus. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, the Bible says. Claim the verses. Let's bow our heads.